So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, The Atrocities of King Kant, beginning with text number 45. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Te
vai
raja prakatayas tamasa mura cetasaha satang vidvesham acherur arad agata Mityavaha Devai Rajak Prakritayas Prakritayas Tamasa Mura Chetasaha Satang Vidvesham Acheru Arad Agata Mityavaha Te
All the Asuric
ministers,
vai
indeed,
Rajaha Prakritayaha,
surcharged with a mode of passion,
tamasa,
overwhelmed by the mode of ignorance,
mura chetasa,
foolish persons,
satam,
of saintly persons.
Vidvesham,
persecution.
Acheru,
executed.
Arat,
agata
mrityava,
impending death having already overtaken them. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Surcharged with passion and ignorance, and not knowing what was good or bad for them, the Asuras, for whom impending death was waiting, began the persecution of saintly persons. Translation, please repeat. So charged with passion
and
ignorance,
and not knowing
what was good or bad for them, the Asuras,
for whom impending death
was waiting,
began the persecution
of saintly persons. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 13, Deyanosmin nitade kumaram jovanam jara tatra dehantara pravti jira tatra namuyate. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Irresponsible persons, surcharged with passion ignorance, foolish do things that are not to be done. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. But one should know the result of irresponsible actions, as explained in the next verse. So the next verse ends the chapter. Ayusriyam yasho dharmam lokan ashisha evacha hanti sriyam si sarvani puma mahad atikramaha. My dear king, when a man persecutes great souls, all his benedictions of longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings, and promotion to the higher planets will be destroyed. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 4th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Atrocities of King Kams. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Garamaya Tati Swabharam Nigam Aradhanastranandam Dairidam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So I think we're very happy this chapter has finally ended. We're getting tired of hearing about it. Kamsa, for so many days, now he indicates he's eventually, due to persecuting saintly persons, he's going to get his just rewards. Here it says, what is that? Those who persecute great souls, all their benedictions of longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessing, and promotion to higher planets will be destroyed. So today is also a very, very special day. This is Vasant Panchami. Fifth day of the bright half of the month of Magh is known as Vasant Panchami, when now this is officially the first day of spring. Of course, in the Western world, they consider 21st March, but we consider from Vasant Panchami, as we see the weather has drastically changed. We're very happy. Weather's drastically changed. And the color of Vasant is yellow. Therefore you saw all the decorations today, all the dresses, the flowers, everything is yellow. In fact, sometimes we also used to distribute yellow sweet rice prasadam to all the pilgrims. Many temples still do this. The color of Vasant is yellow. And there's one temple in Vrindavan called Shaji Mandir. You go all the way down to the end of Loi Bazaar, then you turn left, and you go around the little curve there, little ways, and you come to a big lotus petal entranceway, and inside there's a very, very intricately carved temple called Shaji Mandir, because it was founded by Chandanlal and Fundanlal Shah from Lucknow. And they have very small deity named Chota Radharaman, because they're disciples of Radharaman Temple, Goswamis of Radharaman Temple. So Chota Radharaman. They have one special room called Vasanti Kamra that's filled with very, very ancient mirrors, all different gold-plated and very intricately painted and carved mirrors of so many antique mirrors. And in that room, and they're all with... In the old days, we didn't have light bulbs, so there's chandeliers with... of course, now they put light bulbs, but if they are, actually, you can see they were originally made for candles. All different colored glasses. It's very, very beautiful. So for the next 2 days, today and tomorrow, that room is open, and Sri Sri Radharaman, Chota Radharaman, will reside there for the next 2 days. You can go and take darshan. It's called Vasanti Kamra, the spring room. And it is also, Vasant Panchami also means Saraswati Puja. especially in Bengal, this is a very, very favorite festival of the people. Of course, they're simply interested in completing their studies. They want to worship the goddess of knowledge, Saraswati, in order to get complete their studies and earn lots of money and thus enjoy sense gratification. But for the Vaishnavas, we want the blessings of Saraswati to give us, we want paravidya, not ordinary vidya, paravidya. We want to understand the beautiful science of devotional service. And it is also the first day of our Vrindavan Kumbh Mela starts today. The first snan is Vasant Panchami snan. So today also many great Vaishnavas have appeared. One has disappeared, Vishwanath Chakravarti's disappearance day, but Raghunandan Thakur's appearance, Vishnupriya's appearance, Pundarik Vidyanidhi's appearance, and Raghunath Das Goswami's appearance day today. So we'll discuss something about these great personalities. So Raghunandan Thakur, he was the son of one doctor named Mukundadas, not to be confused with Mukundadas the Kirtaniya. He was a doctor who had two brothers, Madhava and Nahari Sarkar, who wrote this very wonderful book, Bhakti Ratnakar. And Mukunda, he was a doctor, so one day he had some medical emergency, so he had a son who was appeared on this Vasant Panchami day. So he was just a little boy, 5 or 6 years old, and Mukunda had to go for some medical duties. So he told his son, you make the offering to the deities today. You offer very nicely and pray to the Lord to accept. So the little son, he got the offering plate from his mother. He went into the temple room. He placed the plate on the altar and he prayed for the Lord that you please kindly accept this offering. Then he waited and he waited and he looked. He saw the offering is still there. Then he said, eat. Because he was afraid if he doesn't make the offering, his father will chastise him. So then he began to cry. He said, eat. So the Lord was charmed by the sweet childish devotion of Raghunandan. So he actually ate everything. So Mukunda, he came back later in the day and he asked Raghunandan, so where's the Mahaprasad? Mahaprasad? The Lord didn't leave anything. He ate everything. I did what you told. I offered him and he ate. There's nothing left. And Mukunda, what is this? So here now offer a laddu. So Mukunda hid behind the curtain and he was watching. And the little Raghunandan, he came there, he put the bowl with the plate with the laddu. And he told Lord, eat. And suddenly half of the laddu was eaten. And Raghunandan Mukunda was completely shocked. Then he realized that Didi has eaten the whole offering. And that's why he could only eat half of the laddu. He was totally full. So this is the fame of Raghunandan Thakur, whose appearance day is today. Then we also have the appearance day of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He's a very, very interesting personality. He, of course, was Brisabhanu in Brajlila, Radharani's father. And now Mukundadas, the Kirtaniya, he was the only one who recognized Pundarik Vidyanidhi as a great Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava. Because Pundarik Vidyanidhi disguised himself as a sense enjoyer. So one time, Mukunda, he came to Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He said, I want to introduce you to a very wonderful Vaishnava. So he took Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Gadadhar Pandit, sorry. He took Gadadhar Pandit, he said, Gadadhar Pandit, I know there's a very wonderful Vaishnava. So Gadadhar was always anxious to know and meet Vaishnavas. So he went there, he saw he was sitting on a couch with all beautiful silk and satin and completely brass, polished brass. Two spittoons were, shiny brass spittoons were there standing guard, and he had a beautiful canopy, silken canopy over his head, made of three tiers of canopy was there, and he was chewing on pan, and he's lying just like a sense enjoyer, covered with silk cloth, and he had his little box of pan there studded with jewels. And Gadadhar Pandit, in his mind, he thought, this is a Vaishnava, or this is a sense enjoyer. Where has Pundarik Vidyanidhi brought me? Mukunda, where has Mukunda brought me? So Mukunda immediately understood the doubt of Gadadhar Pandit. So he began to sing that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about how Putana came to kill Krishna with poison on her breast, but because she offered a little milk, she got accepted as a mother. This is the most astounding pastime in Srimad Bhagavatam. She came to kill Krishna, but she offered a little bit of milk along with her poison breast, and Krishna gave her the position of a mother. And suddenly Pundarik, he had his beautiful hair all beautifully combed. He began to pull his hair out. He began to roll on the ground. He began to tear his silk cloth. He just went and he began to howl. He fell on the ground. And then Gadadhar Pandit, this is an amazing Vaishnava. Just by hearing this verse, he's gone into complete ecstasy. Then he thought that I have committed some offense in my mind to this Vaishnava. And Pundarik, Pundarik went into... ecstasy for at least 6 hours. Meanwhile, Gadadhar went back and he told Lord Chaitanya about the incident. And he said, I think that I've committed a great offense to a Vaishnava. I think the only atonement for the offense is that I take initiation from him. So when Pundarik, after 6 hours, when Pundarik Vidyanidhi came out of his trance of ecstasy, then he returned back to Pundarik's house and accepted initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Later, when they were living in Puri, Pundarik became the very great friend of Swarup Damodar. One time they both happened to arrive at Mahaprabhu's presence at the same time, and Pundarik and Swarup Damodar seeing each other, they embraced. And then they began to have a big fight, each one trying to touch the feet of the other, the other one not allowing him to take the dust of the other, and trying to touch the dust of the touch the lotus feet of the other. And they were having a big fight, and Mahaprabhu was laughing. Of course, both of them were very strong, so neither of them won, but Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see their activities. Another incident of Pundarik Vidyanidhi that we know is that one time in the beginning of the winter, there's a special festival called Odin Shasti, when they offer new cloth to the Lord. Jai Sisi Gornitai Sisi Krishna Balaram Sisi Radha Sam Sundar Ki Jai. So generally, new cloth has got some starch in it to make it a little stiff. So, but on Odin Shasti, without washing that cloth, they offer it like that. So Pundarik, he didn't know the traditions of Jagannath Puri, so he began to think bad about the Pujaris. Of why are they offering this rough cloth to the Lord, must scratch his skin? He was, some anger appeared in his heart toward the Pujaris. And he mentioned this to Swarup Damodar, who was like, no, this must be the tradition, this is the way they do it. If it wasn't going on, the Lord would have stopped it a long time ago. Anyway, Pundarik wasn't satisfied. Then later that night, Balaram and Jagannath came, and they began to slap Pundarik Vidyanidhi's cheeks in his dream. And they were just beating him and beating him and beating him and beating him. Why are you criticizing my pujaris like this? And when he woke up in the morning, his cheeks were all red. So these are some of the famous incidents of Pundarik Vidyadhiri, whose appearance day it is today, and Vasant Panchami. Today is the appearance day of Vishnupriya Devi, who we know was the wife of Lord Chaitanya, who bore the separation of the Lord throughout her entire life. Because Mother Sachi, after we know Lord Chaitanya was first married with Lakshmi Priya, and he went to East Bengal to preach. And during that time, out of separation took the form of a snake. Lakshmi Priya was bit by the snake of separation and she left her body. So Mother Sachi was very unhappy. She was always searching for another wife for Lord Chaitanya. So she approached Kasinath Pandit, who was a famous matchmaker. This is a famous type of employment in India. Everybody else in the Western world, they just somehow or other they arrange their they don't arrange. Everything is just by Cupid's arrows. So, but very scientifically, because when we're young, we're silly. We don't know what's good and what's bad. We don't think ahead. We just thing is going ping, 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 ping like that. But that ping, ping only lasts for some time. He said, love is blind, but marriage gives you back your eyesight. So, rather than leave the most important decision to a silly teenager, the parents who have some knowledge and can foresee the future, they consult astrologers, and marriages are made like that. So one of the businesses, matchmakers. So Kashinath was a famous matchmaker in Navadvip. So Sachi revealed her mind to Kashinath. So Kashinath immediately went to Sanatan Misra, who had a very beautiful daughter named Vishnupriya. And Vishnupriya was she was the personification of worship of Lord Vishnu. And she used to bathe in the Ganga 3 times a day and always worship very devotedly Lord Vishnu. And many times when she was at the Ganga bathing, she would see Sachi Devi and she'd always take blessings from Sachi Devi. And Sachi Devi knew her well from the Ganga. And she also had considered within her heart, this is a good match for my Nimai. So when Kashinath came from Sanatan Misra with the proposal for marriage between Vishnupriya and Nimai, Sachi Devi was overjoyed. So she was only about 8 or 9 years old at the time. In those days, the wife didn't go and stay with the husband until she came of age. So after the beautiful wedding was performed, Mahaprabhu arrived at Sanatan Misra's house in a great big palanquin with shanai playing, and wonderful marriage was performed in the evening. The next morning he left back for his house. And then when she was about 12 or 13, then she came to Mahaprabhu's house to actually stay with her husband. But when she entered the door, she stubbed her toe and blood came. And she took this as a very inauspicious omen. And she wondered about it. But Nimai comforted her that there's nothing, don't worry about it. So it was shortly after this that Mahaprabhu's father died, and Mahaprabhu went to Gaya, where he took the initiation from Ishwarpuri. After returning from Gaya, he was a completely changed man, completely God-intoxicated. He gave up all his, he was very famous pundit, but he gave up, everything was just Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Even the rules of grammar were Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he hardly paid any attention to a Vishnupriya at all. So Vishnupriya became more worried. So it was hardly a year after that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And the rumors were going around. Sachi Mata had heard the rumors. And that day, in the morning, Vishnupriya had gone to take her bath in Ganga, and she stubbed her toe on a stone in the water, and blood came. And the toe ring that she'd gotten
part of the Indian marriage, we put beautiful ornamental silver toe rings on the bride. So the toe ring was disappeared in the water. And she searched and searched. And she came back weeping and weeping. And Mother Sachi said, "Why are you weeping?" And she told that, because Mother Sachi had already understood, she heard the rumors going around that Nimai is going to take sannyas. But she did her best to console Vishnupriya. She took this as a very inauspicious sign. But somehow that evening, Mahaprabhu came and treated Vishnupriya very sweetly. He decorated her hair. He gave her nice sweets. He sat with her and talked very joking words with her. And she didn't want to go to sleep, but somehow Mahaprabhu manifested his yoga maya potency, and Vishnupriya fell asleep. And then just before dawn, we know Mahaprabhu snuck out of the house. Sachimata was sitting at the door because she knew that Nimai was going to leave, but she was stunned, she couldn't move. She just saw her son leave the door. He paid his obeisance to his mother and crossed the river and went to Katwa to take sannyas. So Vishnupriya was totally destroyed in the morning when she realized that her husband had left, and she took a vow not to eat or drink anything. But Mahaprabhu came in her dream and said, "Don't do like this," and told her that you get a, there's a certain tree where Sachidevi used to suckle me, neem tree is there. You get a carver, and from that neem tree you carve a deity of myself, and you worship that deity, and your separation will be mitigated. So they made a beautiful deity. This is the first deity of Mahaprabhu made, and Vishnupriya very devoutedly, she hardly ate anything, hardly drank anything, and she worshipped that deity with great love and affection, and decorated him with great love and affection. In fact, they say she used to chant her japa, and for every bead that she would chant the Maha Mantra, she would put one grain of rice. At the end of the day, she would gather those grains of rice and cook that, and that's all she ate. So in this way, she worshipped that deity for the rest of her life, bearing the separation of the Lord. And that deity, after she left this world, then it went back to Sanatan Misra's family, who lived in near Mayapur somewhere. Later, by the shifting of the Ganga, that Sanatan Misra's house came to a town that is now called Nabadweep, which is only about 100 years old, and you can go there. Very wonderful deity, wonderful temple there, Dameshwar Mahadev. Mahaprabhu, Dameshwar Mahadev, what did I say? Senior moment. Dameshwar Mahaprabhu. And very wonderfully they worship it, the most incredible. You go there in the noontime, get the most incredible Mahaprasad. So it is also the disappearance day of Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, whom we all know very well. Is every morning all around the world, except here in Krishna Balaramandir, we sing one song of Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. What is that? Everybody says samsara prayers. Samsara means this blazing fire of material existence. Do we want to pray to the blazing fire of material existence?
We sing it in the
samadhi, yeah. But I didn't finish my sentence. I meant in Mangal Arti. So, but it's not samsara prayers. It's Gur Vastakam, 8 prayers to the spiritual masters to free us from samsara. We don't want to pray to samsara. It's not samsara. Everybody calls samsara prayers. Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, he appeared somewhere near Nabadweep, and at a very young age, his parents got him married, but he wasn't very attached to his married, didn't pay much attention to his married life. Later he stayed and he took initiation from Radhacharan Chakravarti in Saidabad, and Mahaprabhu moved there, and Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur moved there and stayed in his house and studied under his guru. And even in his childhood in Nabadweep, he was very, very excellent in his studies. And under Radhacharan Chakravarti, he studied all the Goswami literatures. And finally, being totally renounced, he left his family life and everything, and he came here to Vrindavan. And he stayed mainly at Radhakund, at the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, where he had written the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we go there, we see there's a small shrine now for the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. And there, he wrote almost all the Goswami literatures he wrote commentaries on. And then he wrote so many books of his own. One of the main ones is this Krishna Bhavanamrita Mahakavya, that Prabhupada said, if you want to understand Krishna consciousness, you must read this book. And his deep realizations can only be compared to Srila Rupa Goswami. In fact, he's Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. Viswanath means the rare jewel of Viswanath, Krishna, the Lord of the universe, and Chakravarti, who expands the circle of bhakti. Chakravarti means circle, expands the circle of bhakti. So Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, many acharyas consider him to be a reincarnation of Rupa Goswami. Because Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur's realizations only can be compared to Rupa Goswami. He wrote many, many commentaries that just bring out the rust of the literature, Bhagavatam, and Bhagavad Gita also he wrote a commentary, and so many other books he wrote, Vilapa Kusmanjali, Chamatkar Chandrika, and so many books he wrote. And one famous incident from Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur's life was that one time he was writing an explanation of the Gayatri, Kam Gayatri mantra. And he saw that Krishnadas Kaviraj and Chaitanya Charitamrita is written very clearly that there's 24 and a half syllables. But Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, all his research showed 25 syllables. He couldn't resolve this. Finally he began to fast and he began to pray to Radharani to please solve this mystery. So Radharani appeared to him in dream and said, yes, what Krishnadas Kaviraj has written is correct. And she quoted some grammar book which describes that it goes Kama Devaya Vidmahi, that ya before the vi, the syllable vi becomes a half syllable. Kama Devaya Vidmahi, like that. So that was the half syllable. Now you can complete your book. So Rupa Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur was very, very happy. He completed his book, and because this explains how this Kam Gayatri represents the 24 and a half moons of Krishna. First of all, Krishna's face is the king of all moons. His two cheeks, they're also moons. He has a sandalwood spot on his forehead, that is a fourth moon. Then his 10 fingernails are 10 more moons, and 10 more moons are his toenails. And his forehead is only half a moon. So 24 and a half moons. This Kam Gayatri mentions refers to the 24 and a half moons of Krishna. So we're deeply indebted to him for giving us deep insights into, because his commentaries are very, very incredible. They give us very deep insights into Krishna Leela. And so this is his disappearance day today. So this is also the appearance day of Raghunath Das Goswami. As far as I can understand, Raghunath Das, of all the six Goswamis, he's the one who spent the most time with Mahaprabhu. Because he stayed with Mahaprabhu for 16 years in Puri before Mahaprabhu disappeared. Rupa and Sanatan and others, they were constantly being called. Gopal Bhatt, he stayed for Chaturmas, 4 months with Mahaprabhu in Sri Rangam. And Mahaprabhu told him, you don't ever leave. He tried to leave, but Mahaprabhu told him, you go back. But Raghunath Das spent 16 years with Mahaprabhu in Puri. He was born in a very, very wealthy family. It's said that they had opulence greater than the King of Heaven. We can't even begin to imagine. In those days, his father was collecting 20 lakhs of rupees. Back in those days when Anna used to buy a kilo of rice. So we can't imagine. Of that, he had to give the Muslim ruler 8 lakhs. So they were collecting every year 12 lakhs of rupees. We can't even imagine what that translates into modern age. So he had wealth beyond imagination. He had a wife more beautiful than Apsara, but Raghunath Das was completely detached from material life. Later he heard that Mahaprabhu had come to, after taking sannyas, he came to Dvaitacharya's house, and Raghunath Das immediately went there to Shantipur, and he met Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu told him, look, you stay at home, you will get my mercy in due course of time, but now you stay at home, you pretend to be a pound shilling pence man, but within your heart, you always remember me. So he came back home and he appeared to be interested in the family business and everything, and his parents were satisfied because they always worried that he showed so much detachment that he'll leave and go away. But he stayed separately from his wife. And we know that somehow Nityananda came to Panihati. And our Raghunath Das got this information that Mahaprabhu's there, that Nityananda Prabhu is there in Panihati. So he decided to go there. And when he came, he was paying his obeisances from a far off place. And the devotees, they pointed, there's Raghunath paying obeisances to you. And Nityananda laughed and said, you thief, why are you staying far away like a thief? You come here today, I'm going to punish you. Here so many devotees are gathered on the bank of the Ganga, so you arrange a nice festival. So this was the famous Chiradahi festival. He bought up so many huge quantity of chitta, means chipped rice, flat rice. Very cheap thing, but it's very wonderful also. So he bought up so much chipped rice, and he bought yogurt and condensed milk, and he made some pots with yogurt and condensed milk, some with chipped rice and condensed milk, some chipped rice and yogurt, and he distributed to everybody. Nityananda Prabhu sat on a high platform. We know Nityananda, by his meditation, he pulled Mahaprabhu all the way from Puri, and he made a special plate for Mahaprabhu. And he wandered around through the festival, putting a morsel from everybody's plate in Mahaprabhu's mouth, and Mahaprabhu would put a morsel in Lord Nityananda's mouth. Only very rare personalities, only Raghunath Das and few rare personalities were able to see all the fun. And then he placed the lotus feet of Nityananda on, Mahaprabhu placed the lotus feet of Nityananda's on Raghunath Das's head. Because he wanted to show that if you want to get to Mahaprabhu, then you must get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So then when he returned to his house, he was more intense desire to go to Mahaprabhu. So his father, seeing this, he hired some guards. They knew he was going to run away. He's become a madman of Mahaprabhu. So one night, Yadunanda Acharya, the family priest, came and said that my Pujari has run away. So this is not just in ISKCON, this is a eternal problem. Pujari's cooks disappear one day, so you must arrange some nice Brahmin to do the puja for me. So Raghunath was very smart. He said, all right, he walked with Yadunandan out of the family compound. So the guards, they saw him, he is with the family priest, so they didn't bother to follow him. He promised him, I will find a nice Brahmin. And so he went to some Brahmin's house and told him to go there to Yadunandan's house. And then Raghunath ran to the forest. And the first thing he did, because he knew his father would look for him on the way to Puri, so he went the opposite direction and stayed off the main paths. Anyway, eventually his father sent so many men to find him. Eventually they did manage to catch him. I'm getting two pastimes mixed up. Anyway, he managed to give them the slip, and he made it to Puri at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu put him under the guidance of Swarup Damodar. He said, he will teach you all the intricacies of bhakti. So one day, when he was there with Swarup Damodar, he asked Mahaprabhu for some special instruction. And Mahaprabhu said, I've already given you to Swarup Damodar. What more instruction you want? Anyway, he said, Gramya kata na sunibe, gramya varta na koribe, balo na paribe, balo na kaibe. And always remember Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So this, and then he put Raghunath's hand in Swarup Damodar's hand, is I give you to, you're the Raghunath of Swarup Damodar. So in this way, his father found out, and eventually he sent some men with some Brahmins with some money to take care of. He didn't use that money for his own sense gratification. He was inviting Mahaprabhu and many of the devotees for prasad every day. Then after some time, he was thinking, this is not so good. This money is coming from these materialists. Though they're Vaishnavas, they're materialists. And Mahaprabhu's accepting, but he's not very happy. So he gave up that system, and he was just begging at the Singhadwara gate. Then Mahaprabhu noticed that no more festivals. And he asked Swarup, what's going on? He said, now Raghunath has sent them back. And he just begs at the Singhadwara gate. So Mahaprabhu would notice when he would pass Singhadwara, Raghunath would be there. Then he didn't notice Raghunath not there anymore. So he asked Swarup, what's going on? He said, now he just goes to the free shops. He says, he's feeling like a prostitute. They're just standing there, oh, this one gave something yesterday, maybe this one will give. His mind was disturbed like this. So now he just goes to the free shops. So Mahaprabhu would see him daily at the free shops. Then he noticed he wasn't there either. And he asked Swarup, he said, now he just goes to where they dump out whatever the Mahaprasad can't be sold. They feed it to the cows. Whatever the cows leave behind, Raghunath takes to the ocean. He scrubs off the bad part, and whatever the inside kernel of the rice, that he eats. Then Mahaprabhu ran there to the beach, and he came and he said, oh, Raghunath, you're having a feast, and you didn't invite me. And Mahaprabhu began to eat this old rotten prasad of Raghunath Das. In this way, the renunciation of Raghunath Das can never be imitated. He's so totally renounced. So after 16 years, Mahaprabhu wound up his pastimes. So Raghunath Das thought, let me go to Braj. I will climb Govardhan Hill and throw myself down head first and suicide myself. How can I live in this world without Mahaprabhu? So he didn't tell anyone, but he left Puri and he came here to Braj. When he got here, he told Rupa, and especially Sanatana, about his plan. And Sanatana Goswami said, no, you can't do that. I also had the same idea, because remember, Sanatana Goswami got eczema. with pus running on his body, and Mahaprabhu was always embracing him. So he thought, let me end this body, let me jump under the Jagannath cart. He didn't reveal his mind to anyone. But Mahaprabhu told him, Sanatan, this body is not yours. I have many things to do through this body. This is our position. We're just instrument. We may think I'm very beautiful, I'm handsome, I'm this, I'm very learned, this and that. We're nothing. We just want to be instrument of the previous acharyas. So he said, I have a lot of things to do, so you can't do this. Mahaprabhu, I didn't tell anyone, but Mahaprabhu knew my heart. So you can't do this. So Raghunath Das took up residence at just on the edge of Shamakund in Radhakund. And he lived there for more than 40 years, performing the most intense austerities. He would just eat a little bit of buttermilk, whatever would fill into a leaf cup every day. And he would chant, he would pay obeisance to 1,000 Vaishnavas, and incredible austerities that nobody can possibly imitate. And many famous stories are there. We're running out of time, but one of the most famous, of course, was that he was taking buttermilk from this little leaf cup, and his servant became worried. So he found in Sakhistali the same tree, but big leaves. So he made a leaf cup from those leaves. I can't remember the name of the leaf, but anyway, he found in Sakhistali this leaf, and he made big cup. So in Raghunath Das, he saw this big cup. He said, what is this? He said, oh, I was in Sakhi. He was looking at it, very curious, like a little boy seeing some new toy. And he said, oh, when I was in Sakhistali, I found a big tree, with a big leaf. He said, Sakhistali, that is the place of Chandravali. He threw that cup down. He said, if you bring anything from Chandravali's place, because she's the rival of Radharani. And Raghunath Das was the Ananya Bhakta of Srimati Radharani. So like that, he said, I will give up my body. And we know that one time he was considering that in the future many devotees will come, and Radhakund was just, we know when Mahaprabhu discovered, it was just two paddy fields. He thought, there's hardly any water, there's no gods, no things. If I got some money, I would fix it up. Then he thought, oh, again I'm thinking about money. He took mon vrat, quiet silence. And considered with his heart that again I'm thinking about money. And one businessman from Calcutta, he went to Badrinath to offer a big donation to Lord Badri Vishal. But Lord Badri Vishal told him in dream, no, you go to Radhakund, you give this money to Raghunath, and tell him, he won't accept it, but you tell him, I know Raghunath Das' desire to excavate the Kund. So that businessman went there, he found out Raghunath and Radhakund, he offered him that money. Raghunath said, wherever you came from, you please go back, take your money with you. And he said, but Lord knows your desire to fix the Kunds. And he said, all right, I'll give it here. Not like us, as soon as we hear a big donation, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, no, no, you go away. Because what, it did not be for sense gratification, only for the service of the Lord. So then he fixed up Radhakund and Shamakund and made all the ghats. And like that, we run out of time. There's so many stories of Raghunath Das Goswami. Anyway, this is his appearance day today on this Vasant Panchami day. So we tried to tell some famous incidences from his lifestyle, and we could take inspiration from all of these and try to become more surrendered to pushing on Srila Prabhupada's movement. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Raghunandan Thakur ki. Srila Vishnupriya Devi ki. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami ki. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ki. Srila Vidyanidhi Pundarik Vidyanidhi Prabhu ki.